The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join me on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. You can be a part of Max Kellerman Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. It's official. College football's back, and so is your favorite Dr. Pepper-loving college football town, Fansville. Head to a store near you to treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Raj, I don't know. Like, I'm looking at the simulcast, and I'm coming straight from the Max Unboxing set. Raj is giving me a telephone sign. What does this mean, Raj? Telephone thing. Anyway, the point is, I'm coming right from the Max Unboxing set, so I'm in a suit and tie. Who am I, Walter Cronkite all of a sudden? What am I? What is this? I'm doing... Yeah, Raj.
It looks like you're going to be participating in a debate tonight or something.
I know.
You're sharp
now,
and professional.
It's true, I'm very handsome in a suit and tie. But I feel like I should... Yes. I'm coming... Look, by the way, Max Unboxing tomorrow night, 5 p.m., ESPN2. You want to hear from Teofimo Lopez about what he just did? You want to hear from Tank Davis about what he's about to do? Because I'm speaking to them both. So I had to get some stuff done for Max Unboxing. I'm coming straight from the set. We taped something. And so I'm in my suit and tie. I don't know. I feel like it looks strange on radio. Should I loosen the tie and unbutton the collar?
Yeah, a little bit.
Should I keep
it
nice and neat? Let's see what this looks like. Let's see what this looks like, Raj. Look at this. Even more like, look at this.
Now you look
even
like
better.
Happy hour. I could reach over and talk to about the games and
that's
everything.
That's right. The problem is I might
Antonio
be
Brown.
Too sexy for television now. Not like that. Look at Raj. Look at Raj. Put on his dad's blazer and got on TV. He looks like a kid in his dad's blazer. That's really... Did you go somewhere to get that picture taken?
We did it at ESPN Los Angeles, a photo shoot. And Sean John, uh-huh. P. Diddy's suit. But it might have been a little older. Maybe. It might have been from about 7 or 8 years
ago. They were at a photo shoot in ESPN Los Angeles. They said, hey, is the producer around? We want to take a picture of him, too.
Hey.
Raj lied to them. Oh, yeah, I'm on air. Got some glamour shots taken. Let me give you some straight talk.
I do what I do to get my time.
Let me tell you some straight talk, Raj. Antonio Brown, who I said for a long time now, he doesn't even deserve another chance in the league yet. He's going to get it. He served his suspension, and there are some teams lining up for his services. Now, there are a couple distinct issues here. One is, do you want Antonio Brown on your team? Like, where do I think he should go? The Seattle Seahawks apparently are in the front of the line. And two, do you think he's going to last the season? Let me answer two first. I don't think he lasts the season. And I base that on his entire history. Like, people who think he does last the season are basing that not on any of his behavior, none of the past, but basing it on how would you feel if you were in his position, right? Like, oh, he has to know. This might be his last chance. Number one, it's not going to be his last chance because he's that great of a receiver. And number two, no, he doesn't have to know. Why does Antonio Brown have to know? Remember when he first started making problems in Pittsburgh? And then finally he gets traded away and you're like, oh, he's crazy like a fox. He wanted out of there to get his money. And as Stephen A. points out on First Take all the time, all he had to do was shut up on a Thursday until a Tuesday. And if he just didn't say anything and stayed out of trouble in whatever that is, 48 hours. No, not 48 hours. That would only be 2 days, Raj. Don't be ridiculous. 96 hours. See how I did that? How I got the 48? Just like that. I got that, like that, like this, Raj. Like this, I got 96 hours. All up here. That's right. Can you just shut up for 4 days and get your $29 million guaranteed? No, he couldn't. Right then, something's wrong. And then on his way out, the whole organization supported him. The GM, the owner, the coach, his teammates. And he couldn't stop throwing him under a bus. Whatever bus came by, he threw someone under. And then he may have illegally taped John Gruden a phone call to try to bust him publicly on something? Is he out of his mind? And so he's off the Raiders right away. And then he staged that phony baloney, "Grandma, I'm free." Free from what? A nationally known team that wanted you, was trying to give you $30 million almost guaranteed? A coach who was saying nothing but good things about you? Teammates who supported you? You couldn't make it through the preseason just to play a single game? That's when I started saying, I'm a little concerned about Antonio Brown. I don't want to just pile on. I think he may need some help. His behavior was so, let's call it, erratic and inexplicable, at least from where I was sitting, that I thought maybe he needed some help, like a mental health care professional. Because mental health is a real thing. Now, by the way, here's the thing. Just because someone may have mental health issues doesn't mean they're not also a jerk. It's possible to both have mental health issues and be a jerk. Both things can be true. I suspect Antonio Brown has certain mental health issues and he's a jerk. By the way, my own interactions with him here and there, a couple times I, you know, talked to him, run into him. He was on Sports Nation once and, you know, stuff like that. He seemed fine to me. He was nice to me. It was nice talking to him. And I do believe that you should judge people on their interactions with you, but that's not the only way you should judge them. It seems to, like he did things like, do you remember when he released to the public that text that Juju Smith-Schuster sent him? It's a humble text from Juju Smith-Schuster when he was still in college, telling Antonio Brown how he looked up to him and everything. Antonio Brown thought that made Juju look bad. Made Juju look good. It said a lot that AB thought that made him look bad. So anyway, then he goes to the Patriots. Now understand, even if he felt, from his point of view, he was being extorted by a woman who made made accusations against him. Even if he felt that way, why would he put in text what he put in text? Like a nasty text that would certainly not engender any sympathy for Antonio Brown if it became public. But also shows a real lack of judgment that he would put that in writing. Even if he did feel that way. And yet he did. And that became public. And then on the way in the door to the New England Patriots, he does another one. Remember what Chris Rock said about Michael Jackson? Another kid! It's like, another text? AB, are you crazy? That's what I thought. He might be crazy. He might need help. He might be chemically imbalanced. What's he doing? He lasts one game on the Patriots after, so he gets his way out of Pittsburgh. Oh, he's crazy like a fox. He gets $29 million guaranteed that he then blows up because he can't keep his mouth closed for 96 hours. He, on his way out the door, throws everyone under the bus who supported him, including maybe illegally taping his coach. He makes public a humble text from a receiver, a former teammate, who seems like a really nice guy in the text, thinking it makes that guy look bad. He puts on social media interactions with one of his baby's mothers and law enforcement that makes him look bad, thinking it makes him look good. Otherwise, why would he put it on social media? He put it on social media. And then on the way into the Patriots, he makes the same mistake that he had just made that made him look really bad, involving a potential legal issue, a criminal issue. Nevertheless, he's Antonio Brown on the field, so he's targeted 8 times. He catches 3 first downs and a touchdown, 4 catches and 8 targets with a touchdown, and they win the game, the Patriots. And that's the only game he played for the Patriots. And then he throws Kraft under the bus, or criticizes him, on the way out the door. You see, this dude can't take yes for an answer. So, like, that's his history. What's changed? By the way, then he said, like, he doesn't need football, and he's really, you're a Renaissance man, AB? What did he do when he was away from the game? As I asked on First Take today, did he write a novel? Did he compose a symphony? Did he organize in the community? Like, did he do anything at all? No, in fact, he enrolled in I forgot where he enrolled. he wanted a degree in something, and he promptly put on social media that he was looking for someone to write a paper for him. What? By the way, three things are possible. You may have mental health issues. You may also be a jerk. You don't have to, it can't, it doesn't have to be one or the other. And you also may not be that smart. I'll say this for AB. He is a legendary worker. His work ethic is legend, like the way Jerry Rice's was. And he, I'd say, has been the most productive statistical wideout in the history, in my lifetime watching football. There was Jerry Rice, and then there was Randy Moss in terms of the consistency of production at an elite level, at like a super elite level. I think he's the third guy there. Then came AB, where you start looking at the numbers, you go, oh, that kind of looks like Randy Moss or Jerry Rice almost. So that talent will always get him another opportunity. Is there anything in his past that makes you think he's going to make the most of it? That he's going to stick around the whole year? I don't think there is. So then the question becomes, does he make sense for the Seahawks? Here's Pete Carroll, head coach of the Seattle Seahawks, on the possibility of signing AB.
We have endeavored to be in on everything that's going on, and John has done a marvelous job of always being tuned in to what's happening, and this is no exception, you know, so we'll see what happens.
That was Straight Talk from Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart. So, here's the thing about AB. He's so great that if you're going to get him for pennies on the dollar, the only reason he's available in the middle of a season for pennies on the dollar is because he comes with baggage. He comes with warts. Remember Moneyball? That was the whole idea. If you're in a small market like Oakland in a league without a salary cap, you have to target players with warts. Don't focus on what they can't do or what's wrong. Focus on what they can do. That's why they're available to a small market team, like on a fraction of the cost of a superstar, right? Well, that's Antonio Brown right now. It's a Moneyball move. He is one of the best who ever did it. You'd think still in his physical prime. And he's available in the middle of a season just to sign him. You don't have to give up any draft compensation even or anything. You just have to give him a few dollars. It's, by the way, not even tens of millions, like a budget contract. Who's going to say no to that? Well, let me tell you who I think could say no to it. Stephen A. and I were debating this on First Take today. Stephen A. likes him on the Ravens because he'll be the number one target on that team. And the Ravens could really use him, too. I like him better on a team like the Seahawks, and I'll explain why. The rationale that, in fact, AB can't be a guy who's getting the third most targets on it. It can't be like Metcalf first and then Lockett and then AB. He won't be happy. In fact, I think about it differently. I think that if he's too important to a team, it gives him too much leverage with which to misbehave, to act out. You'd rather have him in a situation where he knows, I make this team better, but they don't need me. They were all right before they got me. I think that's a better check on his worse on his lesser impulses. AB makes any team on the field better. Any team on the field better. And for those who would be like, well, Seattle needs a defensive player, not an offensive player. Yeah, I'm sure they wished that AB played defense. He doesn't. If there was an AB-level player with AB's baggage on the defense, I'm sure all the teams would be lining up for him who needed a defensive player too. That's not what's available. This is what's available. You want it for pennies on the dollar, yes or no? Here's my answer. Were I a team, the answer would be yes, I'd take him. But I would not expect him to finish the season. I would expect him to be very productive while he was on the team, and I would expect him to implode. And so that he doesn't take the team with him, then you got to jettison him. And on a small contract, you can. You know, it's like a bad thing. Like when Odell got the money from the Giants and Gettleman was like, ah, we're never going to trade him. I don't know if he said he's as valuable as a quarterback, but that's what, you know, he can't speak the word quarterback for some reason, Gettleman. But at any rate, yeah, we're not, you know, we just signed him. We're not going to trade him. He's so great. And the next day he turned around and traded him. $20 million cap hit. That's a hard player to trade. It's a stupid thing to trade a player like that, right? But a player on a small contract, like what AB's about to get, that's an easy player to get rid of if he's not working out. or if his the problems he creates off the field aren't as valuable as the contributions he makes on it. Another Pro Bowl wideout trying to make a comeback. Ravens are bringing in Dez Bryant to evaluate whether they want to sign him to their practice squad. I don't care about that story. It doesn't interest me. Like, Dez Bryant was once, he was never the best receiver in the game, as people tried to pretend. But because he's a Cowboy, much like Ezekiel Elliott, they used to tell me, he's better than Odell. Stop, on his best day, it's not close. But Dez was a top five receiver. In fact, you could, at his best, top three or four. I'd say four. There were four guys, you know, several years ago. There was AB and Julio Jones, and Odell was the new kid on the block, and Dez Bryant. But, like, the NFL, man, you can't get suckered by the name brand. Dez is just a name brand receiver who's past his prime right now. Who cares if he's on a practice squad? It's interesting as a story, I guess, because we know him. And also, Cowboys are known more than players for other franchises because they're more nationally covered. But, like, AB going to the Seahawks, that's a big story. Dez Bryant, the Ravens looking at him for the practice squad is a non-story. It's a non-story. If he was good, someone would have picked him up by now. I mean, by the way, do I think Dez has been treated unfairly? I do. I think that he's been good enough to play in the NFL, but not as an impact player, as a jag, just a guy. Max Kellerman Show is brought to you by Shell V Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. You know what? They're going to get it twice, set, Raj.
And the pitch. Did he go? They appeal down to first, and he did. Castillo strikes out Taylor, and the Rays win game two to even up the World Series at a win apiece.
Rays beat the Dodgers behind the bullpen and Brandon Lowe's two homers to even the World Series. Lowe became the first player ever to hit two opposite field home runs in one World Series game. And the Rays bullpen bent but didn't break as they held on for a 6-4 victory Wednesday night to even the series at one game apiece. I was getting tired watching that game last night.
It sounded like you watch every inning of it, Max. By the way,
and I even saw him coming back on him, and I got the feeling the Dodgers maybe were going to come back to win. I said, no, I can't stay up. I have to go to sleep. I think it was 6-4 when I stopped. I think it was that was the final score anyway, so I was smart.
Yeah. Calculated risk, but you did it right.
I did it right. Something's got to give. And when your home team is not in the World Series, that's what gives. You see a team with a three-run, but no, it was like a three- or four-run lead, and then all of a sudden it was a two-run lead, and I was like, I should probably stay up to watch. I woke up this morning, oh, thank God. Could you imagine? Epic Dodgers comeback! I don't know. Dave Roberts, my sports enemy, one of them, for that stolen base against the Yankees in 04. I just want to say something quickly. Let me stop down this whole segment. Do you understand, Raj, that the Yankees won 4 out of 5 World Series between 96 and 2000. They won in 96, 98, 99, and 2000. And in 97, they lost a classic series. I think it was Sandy Alomar who homered off Rivera in Game 5 that they could have easily won, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, that was in the first round. Okay. So the point is that 4 out of 5 World Series, probably never going to happen again in this era of three-tiered plus playoffs, right? But 2001... they very nearly won again. They almost won 5 out of 6. Then in 02, they got blown out by the Angels, but everyone did, and they lost to the eventual World Series champs. 2003, they lose to the Marlins in the World Series in 6 games. They just lost to a great young power arm pitching staff. And now it's 04. If they win the World Series in 04, it connects the whole dynasty to 96. You see what I mean? Like a near miss in 01, 03 they got back. And if, matter of fact, even forget 96 to 2000. If I told you there was a team that got there in 2001 and lost in Game 7 in the bottom of the ninth on a fluky kind of, you pull the infield in and you get a little broken bat bloop, and that's how you win, that's how you lose, rather, in the bottom of the ninth, Game 7, and then you follow that up by losing to the World Series champs, and then you follow that up by losing in the World Series in 6 games, and then you follow that up with a World Series win, you'd say that's a 4-year dynasty. You're constantly in the World Series, and you're winning half of them. So 04 was a huge year, and the Yankees were up 3-0 with a lead late in the game. And if Dave Roberts doesn't steal that base, and the Yankees win, considering the Red Sox swept the Cardinals, I'm going to go ahead and say the Yankees would have beaten the Cardinals. It connects the whole thing. So Dave Roberts ruined everything. And I hate him, Raj. And every time he's brought up, I'm going to bring that up.
You made it clear to him, and you didn't hide behind it, because he came on the show, the manager of the World Series participant Dodgers, and you told him to his face.
Yeah, that's right. We were getting along famously. Oh, we were saying nice things, and we were talking and having an interesting conversation, and he was like being complimentary to me. I just needed to let him know at the end of the interview that we're still enemies. But anyway, this is what he had to say about last night's game.
We feel great. We've got Walker going. We've got Julio going. And then we've got Clayton. So, and if you look at kind of where our relievers are set with the off day tomorrow, we're in a great spot.
By the way, isn't that what it comes down to? If you got a pitching staff, if you got some arms, you're like, yeah, we're set up. We're good. We're 1-1, but we got some arms we believe in. And the bullpen is important, of course, and power arms, everything. Maybe I'm being old-fashioned, starting pitching. If you have three starters you believe in going into a postseason series, you're feeling good about yourself, and he does.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app at SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join me on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. ESPN Investigates Season 2, The Running Man podcast, is now available. Subscribe and listen wherever you get your podcasts. I got a lot to do. I need to get into the Clippers and Ty Lue. I want to get into the Giants and Washington tonight, and believe it or not. And I got something to say about the Giants. And I'm in the Jalen and Jacoby studio. I don't know what we're calling it around here now, but to me, it's a Jalen and Jacoby studio. This is a tremendous set. What a set they have here. Image Mike Tyson and Biggie and the Beastie Boys. And what do they have over here? Their kids and stuff. Run DMC. I see Harriet Tubman, Magic and Isaiah, that picture where they're kissing each other before the finals. Richard Pryor, they got all kinds, like, this is, you know, Raj, let me tell you something. I invented the man cave as a radio studio.
You did.
Before Dan Patrick did it and Jalen and Jacoby did it. This was my idea years ago. I was pitching it, and I couldn't get any traction. I'm ahead of my time, Raj. It doesn't pay.
It's just like with the power rankings. You invented the NFL power rankings. Not everyone's using it. Keyshawn steals it. And he's not even clever enough to change the name. Stephen A. Smith changes the name. You invented a lot of things that you just don't get credit for.
I tell you, I was walking down Broadway one day. I said, you know what would be interesting? NFL rankings in the middle of the season as it goes on. What should I call it? Power rankings.
Ah, genius.
Now it's everywhere.
Everywhere.
Ty Lue said the Clippers, on-court chemistry issues were due to a lack of continuity. So this is 5 weeks after the Clippers suffered an embarrassing playoff collapse. Lue addressed the team's chemistry and leadership issues on his first official day as the franchise's new head coach. Ty Lue, of course, was Doc Rivers' top assistant this past season. He's a championship coach. Remember when he replaced David Blatt? LeBron was like, this guy ain't cutting it. They brought in Ty Lue. They won the championship. He says the franchise's team chemistry issues, not because his players don't get along off the floor, but due to injuries and unforeseen circumstances that kept the team from gaining valuable time together on the court. I can buy that, I guess, except I think there's something else. I like Patrick Beverley a lot. He's a good defensive player. Some of the deeper analytics suggest maybe he's not as good as his reputation, but I think he's a good defensive player, and he can shoot. If you need a kind of defensive shooter at the one, he's really more of a two, but he has the height to play the one, right? He doesn't have the height to play the two. That happens in the modern NBA a bunch of times. But if you need that, if you have a kind of playmaking off guard who's really more of a point guard but is also a scorer, if you had a Kobe Bryant, right, then Patrick Beverley makes a lot of sense. But if you have if your two best players are both not only perimeter players but really wings – so you can call him a two-guard and a small forward, but it's two-way attacking perimeter players who can shoot. I think you need a primary ball handler because, like, Kawhi has become a much, much better passer. He reminds me of Hakeem, different positions. But Hakeem Olajuwon came in as a great defender and a scorer, but not a passer. But over his career, he became a very good passer by the end of his career. And Kawhi came in, well, as a defender and a You know, Boardman gets paid in college and is a defender early on who could score into a primary scoring option. But as he's gone along, he's become a much better passer for his position. You wouldn't say Kawhi Leonard is a great passer, but you would say he's an above-average passer for a small forward. Like LeBron, you could argue small forward too, whatever. Positionless basketball, he's really a point guard now. But LeBron is an all-time great passer no matter what position he plays. That's not Kawhi. Kawhi is an above-average passer for a small forward. They don't really have a brilliant kind of offense organizer, conductor on the team. So I was mentioning Rondo would be a real good fit, and I know they want Rondo. But how's this thought I had, which I later found out is actually being contemplated by some of the principals involved? Chris Paul. Chris Paul makes a lot of sense in a return to the Clippers. You want someone to organize your offense, but at an elite level, who can also shoot and all that stuff. But like Patrick Beverley's not a dynamic playmaker. He's a defender and a shooter. Rondo is a dynamic playmaker, but not a shooter. Although in the playoffs, he's an all-star. Chris Paul is he's the next thing to an MVP caliber player. He's not a five-star player, but he's not a 4.5 either. He's a 4.75 star player. He's a 4.75 star player at this point in his career. But here's the other thing it does. Kawhi and Paul George are not as good as LeBron and AD. LeBron's a little better than Kawhi, and AD's a lot better than Paul George. And that's what it comes down to in the NBA. If you don't have a big three, your big two better be better than the other's big twos. Look, you could argue LeBron and AD are the number one and two players in basketball. They're on the same team. You know what happens when that happens? Championships. When Bird and McHale got together, the best player in basketball at the time and a top five player in McHale, they won championships. When Magic and Kareem got together, because in the beginning Kareem was still the best player in basketball and Magic was top five, and then it switched, they won championships, especially when Worthy joined, right? Like, how are you going to stop all that? Well, Kawhi and Paul George are not quite LeBron and AD, and I thought they had an advantage right, because they had more continuity on that team than the Lakers. No, they need not only someone to organize the offense with playoff experience and all that, but they need that guy to be on an all-star plus level. Because if your big two are not as good as the other big two, then get three. Here's the question. Can they even match up salaries to get Chris Paul? Does Montrezl Harrell and Lou Williams and this one and that one add up to Chris Paul's salary even? Or do you have to move Paul George? Because if you move Paul George and replace him with Chris Paul, I'm not sure they got better. In the moment of truth, maybe, but then you need to make more moves. So what I'm talking about is Chris Paul to join Kawhi and Paul George, not traded for Paul George. Wouldn't that be weird? Paul George goes back to OKC and Chris Paul goes back to the Clippers. But I think if they do that, Raj, they'd have a chance at a championship, and I don't think it's that far-fetched that it could happen. I got to get to my Giants. I got something on my mind.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, 888-SAY-ESPN. Reach me at 888-729-3776. Welcome back to the Max Kellerman Show, coming to you from the Seaport District of Pier 17, brought to you by Chase.
Max.
Let me start by saying, I have the controls now. I'm drunk with power, Raj. Ha ha! I control all the calls from this phone right here.
I have a bad feeling about this.
I'm going to get a soundboard pretty soon on my computer, and even during COVID, I'll be able to play my own sound. Let me say quickly before I get the calls.
Oh, boy.
I'm interested in this Giants-Washington game tonight because I need to see improvement from Danny Dimes. Daniel Jones was a reach at six at quarterback. Gettleman basically staked his reputation as a GM on it, maybe his job. It looked good early in the preseason last year, Danny Dimes. But then when you dug into the analytics by the end of the season, it looked like, well, he's not good without play action, this and that. And now his offensive line's not great, and Saquon's gone. And can you imagine you're a GM, in the history of football, I don't think you've ever had talent at one wideout and running back position as you did with Saquon and Odell, both young, both in their primes. And he looked at that and said, "Nah, I'll give Odell a big contract, and I'll eat $20 million in dead cap money when I trade him for nothing, basically." It's insanity. Anyway, I don't want to hear that, well, you can't really make a judgment on Daniel Jones now. Year two is where you see the development with a young quarterback. I need to start seeing something from Daniel Jones. That said, Dan in Gainesville, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Dan in Gainesville, you're on the air. Seems to me there it is. Good. Dan?
You can't even do the call. See? That's why you can't have nice things.
I hit two. Aren't I supposed to just hit the button?
See?
Look, Chris, Dan. Now it's locked. Dan, I want to show everyone this. Hold on a second. Here, give me the camera shot again. Look. Here it is. Wait, I got to move it this way. Here it is. I pressed this button right here, too. Where's the call? Where's the call, Raj? Where's the call?
Take it back from him. No more power for Max. Take it back. You guys do it.
Ryan in Long Island, you're on the Max Kellerman Show. Ryan, see, look. All right, so give me Dan if he's still there, and if not, put Ryan on. They're both gone. All right, let's try this. Let's try Ryder in North Carolina.
So on this whole Seattle and AB thing, why don't they try and go for like a Earl Thomas if they're not really worried about messing with the locker room? I mean, their defense is what's needed something. I mean, and they always say that.
You want to know something about about their defense? When they get Jamal Adams back, I think he could be coming back this week, right? You have Bobby Wagner and Jamal Adams on the same defense. I think they're going to be better than we're perceiving them now. And the fact of the matter is, AB right now, like when last seen on a football field, I think Odell's the best receiver in the world. I can't prove it with the evidence. I think Julio Jones checks all the boxes. He's like a bigger Odell, right? Neither one was more productive than Antonio Brown. In the history of football, my lifetime anyway, there was Jerry Rice, the greatest of all time. The only one who came close to that kind of production was Randy Moss. And then Antonio Brown almost fits into that category in terms of his consistent elite production. Yards, catches, touchdowns, all that stuff every year. It's not so easy to find that. Like, if there's a defensive player like that hanging around, let me know. Rashawn in Houston, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, a few days ago, Dame Lillard played matchmaker and made his list of top 13 boxing matches he would like to see. Did you see it? If so, what were your thoughts on that?
I haven't, but I like Dame Lillard a lot as a fight fan. I'm sure he had to put Terrence Crawford and Errol Spence there. I would love to see that fight. I'm guessing he has Tyson Fury against Anthony Joshua there. I'd love to see that fight. Who else did he have on the list? One of the Charlo brothers against Canelo, I'm going to guess. Lillard is a student of the fight game, so I'm assuming he had a good list. I have not seen it. I'll look that up. Jay in Chicago, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max. This is Jay from West Chicago. From Louisa, Virginia, by the way. Just wanted to throw that out there. Mm-hmm. But I just wanted to ask about the Jets. We've had Leonard Williams, Jamal Adams, Sam Darnold, and we're in the best position right now to get Trevor Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if that would change anything for us, or would it be more of the same?
Let me ask you something. As a football fan, do you really want Trevor Lawrence to wind up on the Jets? Like, do you care about Trevor Lawrence at all? Greatness?
I do care about Trevor Lawrence. I also care more about the Jets.
I know, but my point is the Jets are going to ruin whoever they get. This is a terrible organization. And Trevor Lawrence may be so excellent that he's excellent independent of what organization he's with. Maybe. But I would not wish that on Trevor Lawrence to be a Jets fan, to be a Jet. Now, Jets fans should take heart. I think you'd probably do wind up with him because I think you're going to pick first overall. Unfortunately, I'm hoping my Giants will pick first overall, but Sam Darnold has talent. Daniel Jones, maybe too. Neither one of them is Trevor Lawrence, and I would sever for Trevor in either case. Are we all done with the calls, Raj? I guess so.
Yeah, Dr. Pepper. Yeah, you need a little something from Dr. Pepper.
News from Max Kellerman Nation. Jay just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. He wants Trevor Lawrence on the Jets. Who doesn't want Trevor Lawrence to quarterback their team? What sorry franchise wouldn't want it? Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, AB Talk coming up.